today on Living on Every Word.
Every one of you have some kind of passion, some kind of talent. You have in your heart and in your life the very things that God wills to use for His glory and His honor.
What has God gifted you with? Now, it may not be something as obvious as a musical talent, an artistic talent, or a talent for writing or speaking, but God has placed within each of us skills and talents that He wants to use for His glory. In today's study, we see from the Bible what God can do with three people who don't seem to have much, but they give it all to God. Please join us as Pastor Mike Fritcher asks the question, are you giving what you have?
Living on every word.
I worship you with all that I am. Really? You worship Him with all that you are? To lay down the things that you know you need to lay down. To become obedient to the things you know you need to be obedient to. To offer your body a living and holy sacrifice, which is your reasonable service of worship. Not what we've done this morning, but what you'll do when you leave this place. In your marriage, in your relationships, with your children. What will you bring to our great God? What will you do as an act of worship? Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. We thank you so much for the great grace that you have afforded us, Father, that you have come and you've done a wonderful work in our lives, and we praise you today. And we have much to worship you for. And Father, as we open the Word this morning, I ask God that you would show us great and mighty things from it. That, Father, that we would open it and it would come to life and it would challenge us. And that, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, you'd speak to our lives. And that, Father, that we would go from this place knowing that we have met with you, the living God. Father, how we need you today. How we need you in every portion, in every way. And I just thank you for what you've come to do. And I pray, come quickly. Come do your work, we ask. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen and amen. You have your Bibles. I would like for you to turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. We've spoken of being in the Lord Jesus Christ, having everything that we need to live the life that He's called us to live. And then also, if Christ is in our lives, then we have within us everything that God desires to use to accomplish His purposes. Last week we saw the young boy that gave his small lunch to the Lord to feed 5,000 people. And we talked about giving to our God and watching Him multiply what we give to Him. That God wants to use the very things that He has given to us, the very things that He's extended to us for His glory. Now, you have a passage of Scripture in verse 41, and the Scripture says, He sat down, that's Jesus, opposite the treasury, and He began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. And calling His disciples to Him, He said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she out of her poverty put in all she owned, all she had to live on. Two copper coins, two insignificant pieces of metal, take 2 cents in our day. Or maybe just one. And that's all you have. And you give it away. We talk about giving what you have. And watching God multiply what you give. But I suggest to you that although that seems so insignificant to the world and so insignificant to the disciples, it was very significant to the Lord Jesus Christ, so significant that he would speak that in his lifetime, and then it would be recorded by Mark for you and I generations later to be a part of and to see and to be challenged by. And what I suggest to you that those 2 cents, that minor little insignificant gift has been multiplied through the ages because a woman gave what she had. The challenge that we've been talking about the last 2 weeks is that why not give what you have? And what are you doing with the things that you have? And I asked the question because we looked at several things that I want to look at again in a little bit more detail this week. I mean, I think about the whole thought of having the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Christ. God has extended Jesus to you. He has given Christ to you as this gift. This gift of salvation, this gift of abundant life, this gift of life itself. The scripture says that we were all wandering our own way, doing our own thing like sheep who've gone astray, but Christ was given as this gift. The gift of Christ given to you. The question that I would ask this morning, how much are you giving Christ away in these days? What are you giving to people around you? Is the gift of Christ being extended to every single person in your life? I think about what Peter said we saw last week, Acts 3:6. He said, I do not possess silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, walk. He extended Christ. He had nothing in his pockets, nothing in his wallet, nothing in his purse. And what did he do? He had everything, though. He had Christ, and he extended Jesus Christ to them. The reason why so many of you find your life so miserable is that the extending of God's grace and Christ to you, you've not done anything with it. How can you be happy? How can you be a joyful believer if you've not given Christ away? If Christ has not been extended from your life to another person. I mean, you look at the scripture and you notice, you'll go to Acts and you'll see that these people who were Christ followers were known as the disciples of Christ. And one day in Antioch, someone got the idea to smear the name of Christ and his followers. So you know what they called them, They began to call them Christians. One moment they're disciples, the next moment by the world they're Christians, they're little Christs. Look at those little Christs. And you know what? I think they took it as a compliment, don't you? Thank you, world. Thank you for the persecution. Thank you for the derogatory remark here. But to you it may be derogatory, but to us it is a great honor. We will be known as little Christs. Not Christ, not God, but little Christ who look like the big brother, who look like their father, who look like their Abba. You look at Jesus and you see that he gave and he gave and he gave of himself. The scripture says that he emptied himself for you and for me. When's the last time you've emptied yourself for someone else in your life? You have Christ, and this extension of Christ means that I give of my love, I give of my grace, I give of my mercy, and I give of this forgiveness. I give it out. I give the release of the debt. I give the release of those things that are owed me. I give it away. I was talking about this last night with someone, and someone who's pretty wealthy. By all of our standards here, very, very wealthy man. He was just wondering about, I give, but what about the millions of dollars that I've been cheated out of by people? Will I get back that? I said, if you'll walk in forgiveness and you'll walk in the joy of the Lord and you walk with extended hands out saying, this is not mine, it is God's to give. If you give it in church or if it happens to be stolen from you, the Bible says, why not be wronged? Why not be wronged? That doesn't sound very good to the carton, does it? It doesn't sound very good to the flesh. Why not be wronged? Why not be taken advantage of? We want to fight for everything we have. It's in our flesh to do that. It is. And you might have been stolen from, you might have had evil things spoken of you, but I'm going to tell you the one thing that you're called to do is to give Jesus away. Not just when it feels good, not just when things are going great, but when it's hard. And you're being pounded by the enemy, and you're being pounded by people, and you just say, well, what do you mean forgive, extend grace, extend mercy, extend life? But I'm going to tell you, some of us in here, we have a hard time extending grace even when someone comes along and says, will you extend grace to me? Much less your enemy. I'm going to tell you, every one of us who sit in here today, we know better. Is that right? We know better, don't we? And I just tell you this, that we are become a joyless people. We don't have the joy of the Lord on us. We're so uptight. We're so devastated, or we're so this, or we're so that. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, living in us. Why are you not happy? Why are you so miserable? Why do you have to be so disappointed? When God has extended you love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness. And what do you want to do? You want to hold on to that? You want to hold on to that? You think that works? That doesn't work. You get, instead of you seeing the enemy crushed under your feet, you're getting crushed under the enemy's feet. And it ought not be. Ought not be. The joy of the Lord is being robbed from so many of us because we've decided to hoard Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. He belongs to the church. He's much more than personal. Yes, he comes to save you individually, but he comes to save us corporately so that the world out there might see that we are a people that love God and love one another. And the scripture says that that's how they know. Because of their oneness. That means, you know, we don't disagree on things. It just means we have a oneness about our love for God and our love for one another. And they see it, and they're drawn to it. I got to ask you, how many people have been drawn to the Jesus in your life in these days? You know, most of us have grown up in evangelical life, and we've grown up with an invitation. But you know, in the scripture, who gives the invitation? The sinner does. Over and over and over. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to have you? What do you want us to do now? You know, when Christ is really seen from our lives, you don't have to beg anybody to do anything. You're going to give Christ. You're going to extend the grace, the love, the mercy, and the forgiveness. That's what you have. You have Christ. A second thing that you have is that's in a spiritual sense, you have Christ, you have the Spirit, you have the Word, you have this love, this grace, this mercy, this forgiveness. But I'll tell you what else you have. You have possessions to give. You have stuff to give. Turn to Acts, if you would. Acts chapter 2, okay? We'll begin in verse 41. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Verse 43, chapter 2, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place to the apostles, and all those who had believed were together, had all things in common, and they began selling their property. They began to sell their possessions, and they were sharing with them all, as anyone who might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Go to Acts chapter 4, if you would, verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. But all things were common property to them, and with great power the apostles were given testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land and houses would sell them, bring the proceeds of the sales, lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Gave what they had. Spirit of God was so alive that these new converts, they gave and they served. They didn't need a 10-week course on discovering their spiritual gifts. They did it. They served and they gave. They gave of themselves, they gave of their lives. I mean, that's the bottom line. I have Christ, I have stuff, I have things, and that God would want to come and prompt me to give what I have. What do you have? What is it in your hand, as we spoke of last week? What is it that you possess? Or may I ask, what is it that possesses you? Because your stuff can possess you and have you and take you wherever you don't want to go. We have things. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 1. The Passover and unleavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize Jesus by stealth to kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise there might be a riot of people. While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard. And she broke the vial and poured it on his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, you let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do to them. But you do not always have me. She has done, watch, she has done what she could. She gave what she had. Costly perfume. In other portions of Scripture, we see another prostitute giving to him this perfume. And you know, I'm not saying that this woman is. It doesn't say so. It's just a woman with an alabaster vial. And she gave what she could. She did what she could. She gave to him, and she has done it for him. She's anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Wow. She gave what she had. She did what she could. Can you say that about your life today? Can you say that about your relationship with Christ and the things that you have? Not only do you have Christ, and not only do you have possessions, but you also have talents and passions to be used for the glory of God. Go to Acts chapter 9, very, very quickly. Acts chapter 9. There's a woman by the name of Tabitha, also known as Dorcas. Acts chapter 9. Now in Joppa, verse 36, chapter 9, verse 36, Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. This woman was abounding with deeds and kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and she died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Now, since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, do not delay in coming to us. So Peter arose, went with them. And when he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and the garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. Talent. Made tunics. Bought the material. Measured them out. Sewed together coats for these women. I mean, can you see the scene? I mean, it is like a funeral. It's a sense that they're grieving her, and they're coming up to him and saying, she did this for me. Look what she did for me. You've seen that in funerals when people are speaking well, and all these widows are coming through. This woman had taken her hand. She did what she could, and she served these widows of this day, and she made coats for them. You may not think that's significant in our day, but in that day, that is very significant. She took a talent, she took a passion, and she used it for the glory of our great God. Scripture says that, notice what it says. But Peter sent them all out, verse 40, and knelt down and prayed, turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. Did you know he said, turning to the body, not turning to Tabitha yet, but to the body, okay? It's empty shell. It's no spirit there. It is dead. She is dead. Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and raised her up, calling the saints and the widows. He presented her alive, and it became known all over Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed many days in Joppa with a tanner named Simon. She gave what she had. I received this in the mail this week. I don't know if you can see it. I'm way back there. It's from a prisoner. 160 hours of work. It's called it's entitled The Call of the Mission. Dear Brother Fritcher, I send this enclosed picture to you and your church in appreciation for your commitment to the ministry of missions. I was very impressed with the presentation of your mission activities at our chapel, and I was moved to see what I might do to help you in raising funds to finance your trips. As I do art here in our craft shop, I thought maybe I could create a picture that could be auctioned or given in a raffle or sold outright, and whatever monies you received, it would be applied toward your mission's effort. Thank you, brother. The picture is completely hand-drawn from an original idea using Prismacolor. It took me approximately 160 hours to complete, but I enjoyed every minute of it. It has been my joy to draw it, and it is my joy to donate it to you, to your church, whatever you decide to do with it. May it bring a blessing. I thank you for all you do for us here. God gave what he could. He doesn't have money. He doesn't have stuff. He's been there many years, and he'll be there for many years. But he gave what he had. He took passion. He heard God's word. And that passion and that talent somehow collided with the word of God in his heart. And he spends 160 hours for you and for me in a place called Cottonwood. Multiply the gift. Taking the passion and the giftedness or the talents that God has given to you and laying them at his feet. That's what you do when we go overseas, is it not? You bring the things in your life and the passions. I mean, isn't that what God does? I mean, some of the childhood dreams, the childhood visions, the childhood things, and one day you wake up and you realize, gosh, I may not be a fireman, but I sure put out a lot of fires. You know? God has somehow taken the passions of childhood and has done something so complete in my heart and my life. That you, every one of you, have some kind of passion, some kind of talent that God would want to raise up to use you for his glory. Whether it's to plant the seed or whether it's to harvest, take the sickle and harvest it when it's white. Or just to water someone else's work. But you have the talent. You have the passion. And I can't apply that for you. I can't say this is what you're supposed to do. But we have a spirit called the living God. The Holy Spirit, the living God, would come and say, this is how you apply this message today. You have in your heart and in your life the very things that God wills to use for his glory and his honor. You have that. The scripture also says that you have gifts. Look at the screen, if you would, just real quickly. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. And whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory and dominion forever and ever. the thought of what I have as far as the gifts of the Spirit of God, whether it's a speaking gift or whether it's a serving gift. The Scripture says you are to employ it. And who do you employ it to? Usually it's to a people who say, embrace me. Embrace me. You know, we don't have to go overseas to see that, do we? It's in every one of our hearts. Embrace me. Hold me. Extend the grace. Extend the mercy. Extend Jesus and embrace me. And we do that with what we have. We do that with what we have. Would you bow with me in prayer? What do you hold in your hand? What do you have in your life? The joy of living the Christian life is living the Christian life. And the Christian life is about extending the grace and the mercy and the things that God has given to us and the gifts that He's given to employ it in serving one another. You want to see a downward spiral happen in your life? Just stop giving and keep on taking. Stop being selfless and start being selfish. And you watch how far down you'll go. And maybe you may say, that's where I'm at. I'm as far as I can. I am at the bottom. Well, I would dare to say or suggest that maybe you ought to look back to the things that God has given to you and how selfish you've been. At some point in your life, at some point down the road, you decided that you were more important than God, that your feelings were more important than God. What someone else did was more important than what God said. What someone else said, and you just stopped giving. Maybe you hear and you say, you know what, I've never started giving. And today's the day I start giving and extending what God has extended to me. Just a moment, we have a hymn of invitation. I invite you to come. Lay whatever you need to lay down. Do whatever you need to do. Stop whatever you need to stop. Start doing whatever you need to start doing. Stop being what you've been and start being what God wants you to be. Will you do that by an act of your will, by the power of the Spirit of God that God's given to you in accordance with faith to embrace God? And then to embrace the ones that say, embrace me. Embrace me. Father, come, I pray. Move in our midst. May we settle what we need to settle. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.